Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
All right, 10-12 on WGM. Mr. Hochberg getting calf implants today, so he is out. He's in recovery, but we're going to start the show like we always did. Hey, Elwood, how many miles is it to Chicago? Is this when I start talking, guys? Yeah, I think so. Hey, everyone, John Hansen.
You also got to turn everybody's mics on.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay, all right, cool.
Man, right when I sit in this chair, I lose, Hochberg's chair, I lose all sense of how to actually host a show.
It's kind of wild, yeah. I don't know if we've ever gotten to do this before, so I'm excited.
Yeah, Jeremy, it's good to see you again. How's everything going in the Mega Pros world?
It's fantastic. We're just closing out our year, just thanking our customers and just having a great time.
Good holiday.
Yeah.
Five kids all happy?
Yeah, full holiday.
Yeah, I bet
I'll say very full holiday.
Santa bring them everything that they wanted and everything?
Probably not, but that's okay. You know, that's all right. They can be grateful no matter what.
Yeah, right? I like that. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Mike Houston from Lindholm Roofing. Get a lot of calls from Santa damage on the roofs over the holiday season? Or did he land softly everywhere?
He landed hard in a few places. Especially with the ice that we had about, 3 weeks ago?
Oh, was he slipping and sliding?
Oh, he was slipping and sliding, and he was causing leaks, and we were out there doing our best to help customers and stop the leaks and take care of things.
Right. He didn't fall off any roof, so no big problems there that we hear of?
No falling.
One of the reindeers, Comet, zipped off the roof once, had to do a little vet repair and get him going again. A
couple knocked down chimneys, but other than that,
well, that's Lindemann. That's who we call for that. So I should check
in with my lane.
I should check with Lindemann and see if any chimneys were a little busted from Santa Claus. Good to see you again, my friend. How's business at Lindholm?
It's good. Again, like Jeremy said, we're closing out our year, thanking our customers and living good, living life.
I love that. Yeah, it's been a busy month for whether it's the ice building up, all that sort of stuff.
A busy December.
Yeah, which is good for you and bad for the rest of us, but it's important to check up on what's happening up there, isn't it?
It is, and we're starting to fill up our spring workload, so we're doing all right, you know, setting it up.
I love that. David Haas, our first time on the air together, buddy.
Yes,
how you
sir.
Doing?
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thanks so much.
Miracle Method. Remind folks what it is, what you do.
Yeah, we're a refinishing business. We also dabble in some bathroom safety. And I think around the holidays, sometimes joke about having work done at your home so your friends and family can host.
Yeah, I like
that's
that.
A good way to get out of hosting.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of what you do is to prevent someone from having to rip up the floors and putting them down themselves, right?
This is true. Yeah, this is true. A lot less mess and less stress.
I think a lot of people probably look at their floors and say, this has to be ripped out. And you go there and you say maybe not, right?
Exactly. And if it does, we'll be happy to tell you,
right?
And not promise you something we can't deliver. Refinishing over remodeling sometimes can save you a lot of money.
All right, we'll chat more about that in a bit. Joel
Thanks.
Spencer, how you doing, my friend?
Good morning. Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Obviously, we have warming, we have cooling, we have ice, we have water. PermaSeal kind of dabbles in all those areas, helping people out with their homes, up top and below too, right?
Yeah, and crazy weather, crazy things happen in homes, and we're there to help with a lot of those issues. So, yeah, freezing, it's hot, it's raining, snowing, all of it.
Yeah, exactly. You guys do work up top. You do a lot of work in the basement, of course. And I know the spring season and the heavy rains are important, but what, you get 9, 10, 11 inches of snow that melts. Do people start seeing some water issues in the basement then, too?
Definitely. You get frozen discharges, the ground's frozen, so when things melt and they rain, and it rains, it amplifies what's going on around foundations.
I just want to point out that David Hochberg would have paused on frozen discharges and made a joke about that.
Sure.
And I let that be where
it
was.
Is it better if you call it out and just say there's almost a joke there?
I'm just going to say that Hochberg would have said something. And I don't know how it would have been, but
he
would have paused and made a little thing.
Frozen discharge lines.
Yeah. Exactly. There you go, line. Yeah.
How can people reach you at PermaSeal, by the way?
You can reach us at 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
Okay, so you guys have the lineup now, everyone. If you have got issues with what's happening in the basement, if you got issues with what's happened on the roof, the floors, or anything in between, we've got you covered here today. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Give us a call, send us a text, let us know with what you're dealing with, and we will deal with it too. We're going to do our Center Guard Plumbing mailbag segment. We'll do it after this on 720 WGN. All right, let's do the mail call. By the way, guys, we got a great crew here for you today. Joel Spencer, Mike Houston, David Haas, and Jeremy Hogel. You guys will appreciate this. John Hansen filling in for Hochberg, by the way. 312-981-7200, our phone number, our mailbag sponsored segment sponsored by Center Guard Plumbing. So yesterday morning, so it's the day after Christmas, it's about 5:30, so what am I doing? I'm sleeping. right? I'm tired, and we were out late last night at my aunt and uncle's house, got the kid to bed, and I was like, I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to have a couple drinks, you know, look at the tree, enjoy my Christmas evening. So about 4 hours after I go to bed, all of a sudden next to the on the dresser, I start hearing on the nightstand, and I'm like, okay, someone texted me. That wakes me up, right?
Sure.
Then there's another one. I'm like, okay.
That's pretty good.
And there's a third one. Then a fourth and a fifth. Enrique's like, who is texting you at 5:40 in the morning the day after Christmas? Another one comes in. So at this point, I'm assuming someone's dead.
Sure. And yeah, I got to go dark.
And I guess something's happening. Or it's my boss, Mary, and they need help at the station.
Okay.
So I open it up. No.
No.
It's
lo and behold,
David Hochberg texting me like a madman in a cabin with a manifesto. Screen grabs and links to articles.
Nice.
All for the Center Guard plumbing segment, which I agree is important. Uh-huh. And I love Center Guard, and I love reading mail. But to text me at 5:40 in the morning, now I understand he doesn't practice. He's not.
I was going to say, that's late to Dave.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty late.
And he's not.
He's already had like lunch by that time.
And he doesn't celebrate Christmas like the rest of us.
He's Jewish.
He's Jewish.
He doesn't care.
But it's also the day after his birthday.
Sure. It is the day after his birthday.
Like, what is he doing? Just article after article in all. 22 text messages that David Hochberg sent me the morning after Christmas. His excuse was, the Wi-Fi isn't good where I am, so I'm sorry I'm purging this all on you now.
Cute.
First of all, the first three links are ChatGPT links, which don't work. They're busted.
Yep.
So great start to the mailbag segment, David Hochberg. So then he starts screen grabbing me things about our economy and different things that basically... He texts like he talks. It's loud.
Is it all caps?
It's all caps.
Okay, perfect.
It's a rant. John, internet sucks where I'm staying. I can't get online, so I'm going to send you stories for the mailbag. Then a couple swears I can't say on the air, and he sends it. But it is important stuff. If you wonder how Hochberg is off the air.
Yeah, that's him.
It's the exact same person.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same person.
And I think that's what
we love. He doesn't
sugarcoat
it.
No. I think that's what we love about David Hochberg. I think I'm most surprised there's nothing about Tony Preckwinkle in this entire chat.
Thank goodness. I think our listeners will appreciate that.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he's got a lot. He's got a lot to get to here today. And it's a lot of mixed bag news about the economy and his worries. And look, he's on the front line of this sort of stuff. And I think sometimes we get a lot of reports from, you know, the government issues reports that often has a nice lag to it, right? The reporting time takes a while. The government was shut down. So I don't think we often get a great snapshot of what's happened in the economy, or we hear from professors in their classrooms
who
analyze it, right? Or there's a partisan spin to it. But you guys are the front lines and can probably, through all your businesses, or Hochberg with mortgages application, all that he does in the housing world, have a real sense immediately of what is happening in the U.S. economy, often before the rest of us are going to be able to find out. So he sent me a couple links. He wanted me to mention that U.S. mortgage delinquencies surged in November to a four-year high of 3.85%. Of course, a lot of things are happening in the mortgage world, but this is national delinquency rates up to 13.36% in October, which is 11% higher than this time last year. That's no good. He also wanted me to mention the payroll deductions to start resuming for student loan defaulters. So a lot of student loan folks that had maybe told that they didn't have to pay their bills for many years, that has changed. Now they have to do it. A lot of people say, yay, they should have to do it. But now they're also starting to collect on their wages if they don't pay their student loans, garnish their wages like any debt collector might do. That's a change from previous years. So you might see some people who are already a little squeezed now making their student loan payments, and if they don't, getting their payrolls deducted from it. Some mind-boggling stats from David Hochberg. The top 10% of our country spent $20.3 trillion in the first half of the year, which is huge, but it represents 70% of the economy being driven by the top 10%. Hochberg's point, I think that he's getting at, is a lot of the numbers of spending seem good at a top level. At 30,000 feet, you look at spending in this country, and we are still spending. Hochberg's point, as he points to some data, is who is spending? Is it people that already are well off, or is it everyone else, the middle class, driving the spending? And Hochberg and other people would argue it's the top 10%, which could indicate that there's some weakness in the middle, or certainly at the bottom of the economy. He also wanted me to talk about the bond yields, the 30-year bond yields. This is what drives the mortgage prices. People often say, well, they got to lower the rate. The Fed's got to lower the rate because that's going to lower the mortgage rates. That's not how that works. You've heard Hochberg talk about this a lot. The 30-year is what basically kind of dictates where the mortgage rates are. And the 30-year is not set by the government. It's an open market. People buy it and they sell it. And when the 30-year spikes, basically what that indicates usually is people are concerned. They don't trust where the economy is on the whole. So I think broadly speaking, what Hochberg wants me to get at with these 22 text messages, links, and screen grabs. Yeah.
There's another one.
Here's another one. Yeah, I'm going to start getting them soon here. Is that, look, the economy is not in free fall, right? There is a strong sense of people are still buying. But look at who is buying, look at who is doing the spending, and look at the delinquencies. He didn't send me anything about credit card delinquencies, but I know that those are up too. There is some weakness and some uncertainty in the economy, and that trickles down to all businesses. Jeremy, was that a fair sum up of a Hochberg rant?
I mean, you don't do a Hochberg rant justice, but I think our listeners would appreciate that, to be honest. Like, you're not red right now, you're not screaming, you're not sweating.
The defibrillator's not needed at this point.
All in all, I think our listeners will appreciate it.
Is that what you guys are seeing in your business, too? Like, it's not like business is bad, but people are still tepid to maybe big projects.
So most of our projects are planned, right? I mean, occasionally we'll get the, hey, I didn't plan on this, like there was a leak and now I have to do a bathroom remodel. You know, it's like our customers don't just wake up and they're like, boy, oh boy, I can't wait to do a bathroom remodel. Meaning it's a big cost, it's a big investment. So it's usually half a year or even a whole year of planning, talking, communicating, and all that stuff. They budgeted for it, right? And it could be their first remodel that they've ever done in their house, right? So it's, and they could be 70. It's just they want it and they want it then. Yeah. So we're not seeing too much of the, like, oh, I need a deck, and nothing's wrong with your deck.
Joel, I mean, obviously, PermaSeal, you guys help out when there is an emergency, but a lot of what you try and sell and you do a great job at is preventative maintenance, right? Getting ahead of something like that. Do you guys find that a lot of your calls right now are still of the reactive nature versus the preventative nature?
Yeah, I would say due to the nature of our business, there's a lot of reactive things that happen. You know, we respond to a lot of leaks and challenges, as you said, emergencies. But we still see people being proactive with their homes, you know. So, you know, some of the things that happen when people don't move as frequently and they stay in their home longer, they take better care of it because they know they're going to be there a while. So we kind of see that impact as well.
Yeah. How about you, David Haas? I mean, obviously, you guys are doing a different type of business. You're trying to help people, but maybe your business is helped by the fact that people don't want to do the full floor rip out. And look, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, it's a cheaper option to go with Miracle Method than it is to
lower cost. We don't want to stay cheaper.
Well, you're lower, right. You're cost. At lower cost.
Lower cost.
More affordable.
Sorry. Yeah, more affordable. There you go.
To Jeremy's point, though, there is still planning that's involved.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do pay attention to the same sort of data that you're mentioning in the Hochberg rant earlier, because when folks are a little bit less excited about the economy, then we tend to do better, because I think you still have some wear and tear in your home that you want to deal with. And when we can do that in a very affordable way, and you can save money for different things.
Yeah.
And I think that tends to always be the case. And so, like, things like election years and different sort of news that comes out tends to fare well.
When there's uncertainty.
Right.
When you don't know what's next.
Yeah.
And I just want to make the point that Miracle Method isn't a patch. It is often what you can do instead of ripping it out to a just as successful, if not more successful, outcome.
Exactly right. In less time, less money, and again, I'll just harp on the point. Put that money elsewhere. Put the money in a more productive place, or you can, if you're lucky to have more than one bathroom in your home, you can do Miracle Method 1, and you can save for that big remodel on the other one.
All right. Mike Houston, I don't have any time for you in this segment. I'm sorry, buddy.
I'll come back in the next.
Yeah, you'll come back in the next with some ideas. You got your Urlacher jersey on today.
Looking good.
I like. He also, by the way, Mike Houston figured out ChatGPT yesterday.
Okay.
And he keeps on making pictures
just
of himself.
Just yesterday?
Just yesterday.
Okay, nice.
He's got a movie star.
Do you know how much power you're killing and consuming just by that alone?
We'll do that in the next segment.
Okay, got it. Just wanted to confirm that.
That's the center guard.
Just for your entertainment.
That's the center guard plumbing mailbag segment. More John Hanson in for David Hochberg. Get your questions in. 312-981-7200. We'll take your text too, but time for the news on WGN. Oh boy, they made a fancy little introduction for me. How about that?
That's incredible. It's because you're big time.
Oh boy, you know? I don't think so. Yeah. I got the big voice guy. Yeah. That was something. Hey everyone, John Hanson here, in for David Hochberg, Home Sweet Home Chicago, 1036 on WGN. Hey, let's get to the ABCs of heat loss in homes. That's what it says on my paper, Joel Spencer. Important stuff, and boy, this is a good time of year to talk about this, isn't it?
It's a good time to learn your ABCs. You know?
It is.
Just in general.
Yeah.
I'm teaching David his ABCs. He's doing pretty well with those. And it's time to learn
that
about
D
it.
That D gets a little tricky for him.
Yeah,
I know.
Once you
which
get
is
D,
weird because that's like the first letter of his name.
I
but
know.
He struggles.
Then you start getting vowels, and then he's like, I'm 9 months old. Stop it. What are you doing here?
Yeah.
What are the ABCs of home heat loss in homes?
So we get a lot of calls because people are uncomfortable in their home this time of year. When the cold weather hits. When it's 50, they're okay. And then when it drops into the single digits, it starts to get uncomfortable in different parts of the home. And it's not that simple to understand why that's happening, or people don't know why it's happening.
Yeah, that's a good point. And is each home different? Like, is some homes the upstairs is fine and the downstairs is cold, and then vice versa for some?
Yeah, depending on how it was built, how it's insulated, and some different factors, different homes are uncomfortable in different places. There are some common themes, and that's the ABCs. That's kind of, you know, where you lose most of your heat. And so the A is your attic. That's where most of your heat loss takes place. If you think of your house as kind of a giant chimney, air gets drawn in from the bottom, cool air, and then hot air rises and leaves the house to the top, just like a chimney would. And so leaks in the attic through your ceiling is the biggest place where you can lose heat.
And what do these leaks look like? Is this just like poor craftsmanship, or over time wood warps and insulation isn't as strong as it should be or non-existent in places?
You know, standards are different today than they were 20 years ago, 40 years ago. So homes were just not built, you know, they're built leaky. And so anywhere where you have a can light or a ceiling fan or even just the interior walls of your house, those are all points where air can leak through up through your ceiling and up into the attic. So if your house is built today, there's more codes and standards, and they have to seal things a lot tighter in the house. And if your home was built 30 years ago, chances are you have a lot of those leaks in a lot of those places.
Okay, so it's actually part of the design of older homes versus today.
Yeah, if you look at an older home, they're leaky in the way they're built, and they have big furnaces and big air conditioners and all that stuff designed around the fact that a lot of air is leaving the home very frequently. And so we measure that in how many times per hour the air changes in the house. And so we have tools to measure and understand how leaky homes are.
All right, A is the attic. Let me guess, is B basement?
Nailed it.
You're good. Oh, baby! Look at that.
So, and that's that cool air coming in through the basement. So you have leaks in that basement or crawl space. So
what is it? Is it the windows of the egresses, or
nice?
It could be windows, penetrations through the wall that weren't sealed. The biggest one is really between the rim joists. So
what's a rim joist?
So that's the wood, the lumber that's built on top of the foundation.
Yep.
So that and the sill plate, which is another piece of wood resting right on top of the foundation, that's where most of the cool air is coming in from in a basement or crawl. So cool air is coming under your house, and then the hot air is leaving out through the top.
Okay. What's C?
C is your condition space. So
what does that mean? Oh, like the condition space. I got it. The rest of the house.
The rest of the house.
Okay. Yeah,
there you go. Nailed it.
Walking around and sitting and taking naps in, you know. Yeah. So the condition space is what you think of first. You know, are my walls insulated enough? Are my windows good? You know, doors that don't seat properly. And so that's where people usually try and address their leaks, because that's, you know, they're living there.
That makes
that's
sense, right? Yeah. There's like a hole in the wall because it's a window. That makes sense. Let's get better windows here. Let's seal them up. And that helps, of course. But
yeah. New windows are a good thing. You know, they're more efficient than they used to be. You know, insulation walls are good things, but the heavy majority of heat loss is right through your ceiling, right into the attic, and that's the biggest impact you can have on the comfort of the home.
And are you guys able to use some sort of technology to determine in my house, A, B, or C, which one is leaking the most, or what is the what are we going to address here of the ABCs?
So the test we use is called a blower door test. So it's a big fan that we install on your front door, and it basically sucks the air out of your house, and it measures how leaky it is. And so we refer to that as air changes per hour. So I was just in a home yesterday for a homeowner, and it came in about 10 ACH, 10 air changes per hour. So every six.
Is that a lot or not?
It's a lot when you think about it. Every 6 minutes, all the air in your house is being replaced.
Oh, interesting.
What's the number that we want?
I would say the code right now is closer to, I think it's 4.
Okay,
so there's an actual code?
There is a code for how sealed up a house needs to be.
For new houses?
For new houses.
Okay.
And due to the way old houses are built, you know, we're seeking to improve it as much as possible.
Yeah,
so period.
It could be 15, could be 8. We go into all different situations, but you're trying to minimize that.
There's, so you're 6, so wait, 10 EC, what's it?
ACH.
ACH. Yeah. And now that means that an air molecule in the house is out within 10 times. There's a different one that comes in and out of the house.
Yeah, all of the air.
All of the
air. So your furnace is running a lot. It's heating that air, and within 6 minutes, all that air is gone and new air had to be heated.
That's crazy.
I wouldn't think of it as air molecules. Think of it as just mini dollar bills, you know, because it's literally just like a whole bunch of mini dollar bills just floating out. I mean, that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
You're heating the outside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of heat goes into your attic. So and it's very common to see, even when it's cold, pulled out after a snow, you see a lot of homes where the roofs don't have any snow on them.
Yeah.
And that's because all the heat escaping from inside the house, it's actually melting that snow on the roof.
Or how about around the foundation? You probably love that one. Around the foundation, there's usually like a foot or foot and a half of no snow around people's houses because that's not sealed.
Yeah, you just see leaks all over. You see the evidence outside, but the biggest thing is what people feel on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
and in their wallet.
They're just used to it. That's just commonplace.
That's
they don't
true.
Know. Yeah.
Maybe they moved into an older house like we did, built in the 70s, and you get that first heat bill in the winter and you go, "Oh, okay.
This is what it is. Heat this house."
Yeah. And you just that's your standard and you don't even think that, "Oh my god, no, this is twice as many as much air is escaping as should be escaping."
Yeah, people don't know that and why would they?
So you guys bring a fan in and you do this test.
Mhm.
How long does it take, first and foremost?
So the test itself is about 30 minutes and the whole appointment.
Can I stay in the house while you do it? Or?
Yeah, okay. we do turn
Only
your,
you, though, John.
Only me.
Yeah, only you. The
I'll
rest
come
of the
to your
customers
house
customers can't.
Sit there, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's some prep, but you can stay in the home. And actually, while we're running that test, we can go around with a thermal imaging camera, and we'll show you where those leaks are and where those points are in the home so you can kind of see what's happening. And most of the time, oh, yeah, this room's uncomfortable, and you see a lot of blue on that infrared camera because you see a lot of cold air that's seeping out.
Okay, so obviously we have a lot of listeners right now that are wondering probably, what's my number? Like, I want to know that now for my house. I'm so curious.
Find your number.
Can I call you guys just to run a test and you'll start there? Like, how much does that cost? Or do I have to notice there's a leak to call you? Like, should there be some impetus to call you guys at PermaSeal?
The main impetus is just that you have areas in your home that are uncomfortable. Or
okay.
You have high utility bills, you think your furnace runs too often, you've got rooms that are cold even though it's running all the time. Those are usually the signs that you can have it checked out regardless,
mm-hmm.
but that's usually why people call. We actually do that test for free as part of our appointment.
Are you kidding?
No. So it's the reason is it's critical to understanding what's going on in the house and the current state of the house. So you can go in and just recommend more insulation or recommend that you seal something, but if you don't really know what you're treating, it's not very scientific. So, so we always lead with that.
Do you show people like the results of the tests?
Yeah, so we'll show them that number, that ACH, and then after we do the repairs, we'll actually go back in, we'll test it again, and we'll show people how much it's improved.
I think that's awesome.
Does it change like year over year? I know you guys haven't been doing this for 15 years, but insulation settles. So is that better, worse, indifferent? Or
wait, what do you mean insulation settles?
Just, well, gravity is that thing that's just moving us, right?
Okay.
So eventually that stuff does, depending on the insulation that you're using.
So you're saying a house, can it get worse over time?
Not worse, just, yeah, will that number change?
Well, a lot of, so the insulation doesn't play a big role in the leakage.
That's a good point. It's all the ceiling.
So it's the immediate thought everyone has is that if my home is uncomfortable, I need more insulation. It's not insulated well enough, right?
Yeah.
And so actually, it's that air leaking. So once you stop the air leaks, then the insulation can do its job and keep the air that's staying in your home warm.
Sure.
And so insulation does settle some over time. And in an attic with a lot of air leaks, it actually can shift around and move over time as well. And then like the home I was in yesterday, you have contractors in your attic doing different things, and they'll move your insulation around.
Darn
to make
tuning
the repair,
contractors.
And they won't put it back. So you go. We go into a lot of attics where the it's under insulated. The insulated shifted around, and there's a lot of things that happen to your insulation. There's rodents and feces and different things all in the insulation.
Boy, it took only 46 minutes to get the word feces on the show.
Thank you.
That's a lot. That's too long, in fact.
Is there a baby step approach for our listeners where, hey, you come out, you give me this whole house analysis, and let's say it's, I don't know the numbers, let's say it's $15,000 for the PermaSeal package. I know you guys love naming things. I'm sure you got a cool name for it. Is there like a, hey, let's just tackle this piece right now, like let's just do the rim joist and air seal, or let's just do the can lights? I mean
there's some things, you know, if you're addressing the basement, you can do that on its own. If you're addressing the attic, you can do it on its own. They're definitely complementary pieces. So if you're going to seal the attic, it's hard to do it partially.
Right.
You know, so if
you're not doing one corner of it, you're gonna
If I seal it, can you just put the insulation back, or you're just saying, nah, we get rid of the insulation? It's like a whole package deal.
Typically, it would be hard to return it to the attic. So we remove it all. That allows us to see the whole attic to be able to seal it properly. And then we give you new insulation that doesn't have all those nasty things in it, and also it's the right amount.
Right. So. We got to take a break, but what number can people reach you at?
800-421-7325.
I knew that off the top of my head. I just like for him to say it, too.
Of course.
He's got a good voice. 800-421-SEAL, S-E-A-L, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
We're known best for being better.
I guess what I'm saying is, what is the harm of having them come by and do this test?
None. Time, I guess.
I don't know. Yeah, like, or you have this fear of you're going to find out how much it might cost.
Yeah.
I think that stops people, but you guys aren't going to pressure people. You're going to tell them the analysis. If it looks good, you're going to tell them that. And if they have some issues, you're going to tell them how much it'll cost, and then it's in their report. I just don't know why anyone.
It's knowledge. Yeah.
And also, let's say, I don't know how much it costs, but start doing that divided by how much you're going to save by month. You're going to figure out how quickly in the number of years it's going to take for you to end up making money on having you guys fix the leaks in the attic.
And a healthier home.
Right.
I mean, that's a big one.
I know I said we had to take a break and I talked for a minute, but I'm serious.
Sure,
so we got to take a break. Home Sweet Home Chicago, 312-981-7200. Starting to get some questions. Let's get some phone calls too next on WGN. 10:50 on WGN. Ooh, a little club music bringing us back here, baby. Love that. Neil Fisher, Sammy Martino behind the glass today, doing a great job as our producing crew. Tony DeNardis off to my right. He sets up the Facebook live stream, which I forgot about till right now. You can watch us on Facebook, see all of our pretty faces here 2 days after Christmas, 10:51 in the morning. We got Mike Houston, who's going to talk us all about roofs. We got David Haas, who's going to talk also about floors and tile and all the other places that we have. Jeremy Hogel with everything. And Joel Spencer's who we're chatting with right now about PermaSeal. Because I'm kind of blown away. Like I know what you guys do at PermaSeal. You guys came when I moved into the house and gave us a full report of the foundation and everything. We have a sidewalk that's a little the concrete, you know, needs to be leveled. You gave us great estimate for that, and then said the basement was great, which was like the best news ever, right? That was just peace of mind that someone had done it. And it might have been before you guys really started looking upstairs, right, at the attic. And you, if you're just joining us, what PermaSeal will do is they will come to your house and just make sure I got this right for free. They'll basically test your home and see where leakage might be, where hot air in the winter is escaping your home, and show you places and ways that you can fix that. That's a good summation, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And it comes down to a number, basically how quickly the air is leaving your house, how many times air is recirculating in a home or being replaced in an hour. And the ideal number, and more modern homes have to meet this number, is like four or five times, right?
Yeah, it's single digits.
What is the highest number you've ever seen? I mean, do you see them in the teens?
It gets up in the teens. You know, when you get in some older homes and they have a lot of can lights, they have a lot of different places for air to seep. You know, it can get real high.
And I don't know if it's quite this exact correlation, but if you have a 15 versus a 5, 15 is three times higher. You would think if that furnace is replacing that much more air, it's going to be, you're doubling your bill probably. I don't know if you're tripling it, but your bill is much higher.
I like
higher.
That math. I would just say triple. Why not?
Well, I mean,
math it up.
Well, then I guess this is a dumb question, yeah. And I know that, you know, you're here to sell what you all do. But really, why wouldn't someone, if they have any issue in any room in their house, or just why don't we all just find our number? We all want to know what our cholesterol is. That's a number we want to know.
Do we?
I mean,
everybody wants to know that number. I mean, back to your point of fear, right? If you got a new home or if you just moved into the home, I think that's the coolest one. I just moved in this home, never made it through a winter. I definitely want to find that number.
I want to find that number.
Because I don't know.
Right, right. If you're into your new house, exactly. Yes. Like I did with the basement for peace of mind. But now, I was just telling you guys off air, I am now way more cognizant as a dad of what the temperature is in my kid's room. Right? Like I have an app that shows me him and shows me the temperature. And obviously during the summer, boy, we were just trying to make sure it stayed cool and that he stayed comfortable. Now in the winter, it's the opposite. But his room, and noticeably our upstairs, is much cooler than our downstairs, which for a moment I thought, well, wait, hot air rises. Why isn't the upstairs hotter? And it's because it's escaping out of the attic, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So it's maybe just like your cholesterol. It's not a number that you desire to know, but you need to know because then you know how that you might have something you need to address.
So, I mean, anyone listening can call 800-421-SEAL right now and schedule that, right?
That's right.
And you'll do it for free, although if there's a problem, you'll obviously lay out what the options are for people, which I think that even if someone's not ready that moment to do that, like we talk about with the economy – planning out some of these things is really important. Hey, maybe I don't have the dollars to do it right now, but maybe in the next couple months I'll do something like that. What is your lead time on getting something done to fix the house?
We're mobilized to get out there within a few weeks,
okay.
Usually. So we can get out there soon in terms of running that test. When it gets cold, like a day at the beginning of the month, we have a lot of people
that call.
And we get backed up that way. Right now, while it's in the 40s, I think, outside, you know, it's a
good time
to sneak in and get it done before it gets cold again.
Well, I think that's a fascinating point. Like, even in the summertime, people don't think insulation, right? So, for some reason, because we're just great human beings, we have this concept that when it's bad, it's bad. But it's always, right? So even in your 40 degree weather,
it's
your air still
heat, yeah.
your air's still escaping.
It's just when you're feeling the pain, you know. If it's 70 degrees outside, all the air is leaving, but new 70 degree air is coming in, and you're fine. You feel good. You know, it's a nice breeze.
This is the exact same problem in the summer, right? Leaking air conditioning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. People, it's a bigger impact on folks when they're cold and when they're hot, and they think of it more directly in terms of, you know, insulating and now because of ceiling, but it's the same exact thing in the summertime. You just experience in reverse.
Okay. Got a couple of texts for you. One really quickly, 847. 1992 home built, 2,400 square feet. One bedroom faces northwest corner of the house. Extremely cold. The rest of the upstairs is fine. That common for people?
Yeah. Yeah. So what we would find is there could be the insulation got blown away there. It could be there's more leaks there. You know, some homes have a lot of... they have the fan and they have the can lights in that room or a bathroom nearby, and there's more leakage there. Also, if you have two exterior walls and depending on where it's facing, there's things that amplify that problem, but basically keeping the warm air in there is your first step.
Okay, 312-981-7200, 800-421-SEAL is how you can reach Joel Spencer and the team at PermaSeal. Next hour, we're going to let Mike Houston talk a little bit from Lindholm Roofing. David Haas, we're going to chat about Miracle Method. We'll take your calls and questions too. Jeremy from MegaPros will chime in as well. We got news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN. John Hansen in for David Hochberg with my popcorn. Sammy Martino went over to the vending machine and punched it, and he's covered in glass right now, and he's got to go to the hospital. His arms are a little glassed up, but he got me my popcorn. So
you should have done it to like behind, you know. You go from behind.
You shake that thing. Shake. Yeah, exactly. Neil got in my ear and said that he's the one that loosened it for you, though. So
there you go.
That's a great team of producers there.
Yes, it is.
You know, when the host says he needs something or she needs
something, they deliver.
They deliver, exactly.
So we can say anything right now, like an Italian beef sandwich, like right now. That sounds... Yeah, Neil's shaking his head. Like, sure.
They do it for Wendy. They do it for me. They do it for David.
I get it. Yeah.
Well, they do even more. Like, Wendy, you do everything you can.
Of course.
For Wendy,
it's Wendy.
She's the best. Yeah. John Hansen here. We'll take you till 1 o'clock on this program. We'll do Let's Get Legal. After that, David Hochberg is getting a... calf implants, I think, is what it
which
is.
Which is nice, right? He's got many amazing features, but I have noticed his calves do look a little weak, so
exactly.
It'll be nice to see what they look like.
Especially for someone of his stature. Look,
of course, I
grew up as a bigger kid for a long time, still, you know, carrying a few extra pounds. The benefit of that is you got great calves.
Of course, yeah.
Because you've worked on carrying yourself for a long time. I mean, people have stopped me before. I'm also not joking.
Yeah.
When I wear the shorts, you know, little shorter shorts, that's the style these days.
Of course.
I've had a few people been like, you got great calves. And I'm like, helps it that you carry a lot of extra weight on top.
Exactly.
It makes your calves great. So I am surprised.
I was thinking it's just because you're a big brain, right?
Oh,
it's just heavy. Yeah, just because you're so smart. Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Sure.
But no, Hochberg doesn't have those calves. He's getting that cell. That was his birthday gift to himself.
Wonderful birthday gift.
Exactly. Yep. Okay, that's it for the program. Joel Spencer from PermaSeal, Mike Houston from Lindholm Roofing, David Haas, Miracle Method, that's Jeremy Hogel. And Mike, you do roofing. We were talking a lot with Joel about leakage out of the roof or the basement for how we control the temperature in our home. This intersects a lot with what you do, and especially, too, with the moisture, right?
Well, yeah, the PermaSeal segment kind of stole some of my thunder, but I'm okay
with
that.
Wow!
I wouldn't say stole.
I'd say it enhanced. Complimented.
There you go. Segued me into this.
There you go.
Right, exactly. So what are you dealing with?
So this is a real simple one. I went out to a house a couple weeks ago, and there was condensation coming from a skylight.
Hmm.
And she had never had that before. She has
not like rain dripping in after a rainstorm.
It was 10 degrees outside.
Well, she thought, right? My roof was like, isn't that why I'm calling you? My roof's leaking because I'm getting water in, and it's coming from the ceiling.
But I asked, I said, well, it's 10 degrees outside. Your roof's not leaking. It's condensation. We already knew that walking in. So I go into the house and I go upstairs to the bathroom where you have a tunnel going up to a skylight and all the heat from the bath and the sinks and all that is going up there and getting trapped. And now she's got dripping coming from the skylight. She's never had it before.
So it's nothing from the outside in. This is all from within the bathroom. The steam rises. It stays up there, cools, and drops.
Correct.
Well, what's happening there?
So what's happening is what happened was she did a lot of... home improvements, but one of the major things that she had going on was she had her humidifier, her April air, up to 45%.
Okay.
So I immediately said, let's turn this down to, say, 20, and then adjust it somewhere between 20 and 30 when things start to even out. But I also asked her a lot of other questions, like, have you made any home improvements? Well, certainly she had.
What had she
put
done?
In that new windows.
Okay.
Thermally encapsulating. She put new siding on and new doors, all thermally encapsulating the home.
Well, all good stuff.
Great stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. You have to do that. So now all of that warm, moist air has nowhere to go. It used to go out the single pane windows and the crummy siding with gaps and openings. And now all that warm air goes up to the second floor and gets trapped, and it just stays there.
Well, let's just assume she always had it at 45 and never had an issue, right? Like, oh, this is where I turn it every year.
Because it leaked out.
It leaked out. Yeah,
but she thermally encapsulated.
Yeah, got it.
And so now her attic ventilation was also inadequate because the roofers that did it 7 years ago, she did not need a new roof or new skylight. The roofers that did the roof 7 years ago, they just put up back the old ventilation system, like 5 or 6 can vents on a big gable roof going straight across with a nice ridge, you know, going all the way.
Look at them get all excited. I designed a roof. It's just a nice, long, smooth run.
Got a good gable and a ridge.
Getting all sexy with roof talk here.
Mike Houston just got turned on by roof talk.
It was great.
Okay. We almost violated some FCC
rules
there.
It was weird. It was a little wild. Yeah.
Save your roof porn for after 10 at night. Come on, Houston.
Long and smooth.
Okay, got it. We got it. We got it.
So she's got a great roof. Really great.
Yeah.
And just incredible. But the roofers didn't... Are you saying they didn't do the right job when they reinsulated, or they did the standard, not thinking that this was going to cause issues down the road? Walk us through
what you're thinking. They just put back the old ventilation system that she had, which wasn't going to prove adequate if she started to thermally encapsulate her home. They just put the vents back, which at that time
it kind of makes
fine.
Sense, right?
So no one did anything wrong. It's just that then 7 years later, once you change other aspects of your home, it's no longer adequate.
She thermally encapsulated.
Okay.
So now, again, all the warm, moist air has nowhere to go but up, so it got into that cavity of the skylight tunnel, and it started to condense on the glass of the skylight.
So is that all you had to do for her was turn that down and she's going to be good, or is she going to have to add some ventilation in her room?
She's going to have to add some ventilation. So sometime in the spring, we're going back out there to enhance her ventilation in the attic and make sure that she has good and adequate intake.
Right.
So that the new exhaust will match or come close to matching.
And we're not, what we're talking about here now, this added ventilation, this is no longer to fix her. Solve the skylight issue. You've done that with the humidity. What you're talking about are potential other problems that are not recognizable to her at this point.
She may not notice, but there may be condensation getting trapped in the attic that is causing rotted wood or rusted nails, and then the little balls of frost sit on the bottoms of the nails, and then, of course, they start to melt when it gets warmer, and they drip onto the insulation, and then that's
makes
where
a nice little climate for mold.
Oh, big time.
Yes, it does.
And then when the water drips on the insulation, what happens? The insulation value?
It gets reduced.
Way down.
Mm.
So it makes a big difference. So let's go back and help her out.
Well, no good deed goes unpunished, I feel like. You do the right thing for your windows, your doors, and you seal that sucker on up, and now you have a humidity issue or something. I guess suffice to say is chat through a bunch of different people about what changes you make to your home can have unintended consequences to adjust from there. Because if she had not seen the skylight condensation issue, there may have been something way more severe down the road.
Going on up in the attic.
Which she would have never looked at.
Nope.
Well, and that's a fascinating. You kind of Joel highlighted like the building science of it, but that's the truth, right? So if you call a window company and that's all they do is windows, they just want to sell you windows and then leave, right?
Bye.
But
makes sense.
Yeah, kind of. But it would be great to say, hey, when we're installing this, here's the impact that it's going to have. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be the coolest part.
It's nice to be both a installer of windows, and I'm going to stay in my lane.
Sure.
And, of course, an installer of roofs so that we know what
happens. Well, I could say it's good to know it all.
Can I say it's also – we've got to take a break here, but can I also say it's great that all you guys are in the studio here today. Hochberg's here, and you guys so many different companies. You all work with each other, right?
Sure.
I mean, there can be referrals going on around, and – you know, a lot of people might say, oh, these guys are just selling business to each other. It's nice to have a team that knows your house. I felt the same way when I bought a house. I used Hochberg for the mortgage. He knew Schluter. And they're all accountable. You guys are kind of all accountable to each other, the work that you do.
Right.
If you're going to refer someone to someone else, that's as good as your word.
It is your word.
It is your word.
Yeah.
And so that's why I feel like this show, when I listen every week on the way in for Let's Get Legal. And I think why a lot of people listen is because there is a lot of value in cross referrals between companies, right?
It happens all the time.
Yep. All right. Well, we got to take a break. 312-981-7200. We'll chat a little bit more about roofs. Anything you want to talk about as well. We're going to get to the floors as well. Jeremy Hogel chiming in about anything and everything. I got my popcorn. I'm going to eat some of that. And we'll be back on Home Sweet Home Chicago. 1123 on WGN. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Home Sweet Home Chicago, 312-981-7200 is the MegaPros photo, text, and call line. Is that how I say that, Jeremy? I did that pretty good.
MegaPros call, text, and photo line.
Yeah, I did a little out of order,
okay.
But you know, whatever
Nobody's
works.
Keeping tabs.
Exactly. Well, maybe you are.
I don't know. Fair. Sure. Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps I am.
312-981-7200. You can send us pictures of what you're looking at, too. We'll talk more about roofs in a moment because I have some follow-up questions. But Miracle Method, David Haas, we haven't gotten you much on the line here today. You do all sorts of tile, floor, or surface refinishing.
Right.
Is that the way to say it?
Right, yeah. Surface refinishing is very, very comfortable. The only time we're ever confused is hardwood floors. So
okay.
I know we got one texture already in, which will... I don't know if we answered that one.
Yeah, no,
we didn't. We'll answer the text later.
Well, right. So someone wanted to know about a solid oak staircase that's been carpeted for 40 years. They're thinking about going back to wood or a carpet tree. I don't know what that is.
They're just saying
more
carpet.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just saying
could
carpet.
Be a typo. That
it's probably
I just read.
A typo.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Carpet tree sounds very
what
festive.
To wash the stairs
yeah,
with.
Yeah, what to wash the stairs with do I need to restain?
Mr. Floor wood cleaning product. I mean, that's if you have wood floors, that's only hardwood floor clean
safe
ever,
about it.
Period.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah. And he's been on the show many times, just talking about the damage we do to our floors, thinking we're cleaning them
with water.
With water,
yeah,
right? just killing it. Yep. Or other cleaners that have abrasive stuff on there that's not going to handle it.
Smell good or look good, but yeah, they damage your floors.
So PermaSeal, the way to go, or not PermaSeal. PermaSeal is the way to go for a lot of other things. Mr. Floor Cleaning products for cleaning.
And then the question for the, do you need to restain it? The only thing with carpet on the stairs is that the tack strips, right? So they usually will have like little holes. It depends on if you care. If you don't care, then you're just going to leave it and it looks good. Might be stained in two different sections because of the wear. You can just restain those stairs. Again, Mr. Floor would do that and they could take care of it without restaining the rest of your floor.
Yeah, I just wonder if it would the color look different if it had been carpeted for so long.
Yeah, it's going to be darker.
So you have to restain it.
You don't. Again, aesthetics, right? So what can you live with? As a contractor, my wife can live with every remodel in my house, right? So can all my kids, right? They just live with it and just, oh, well, dad's ripping up the floor today or dad's knocking down a wall today. So it just depends on tolerance levels.
Right. 847. I don't know if you guys can chime in with that or we have to refer him to center guard, but my bathroom shower head spits out water every once in a while. I live in a third floor of a condo. How do I stop this? Are they like meaning like in the middle of the day, all of a sudden the shower head spits out water?
I assume it's when it's on. If it's just
like
when
it's
not on and it's spitting out water, then yeah, you're calling center guard because like there's a valve issue or something like
or
that.
Or a priest
Yeah, maybe.
A priest.
Gotta give
if
it
I'm
an exorcism.
There and my shower head is starting to spit water.
I'm a little scared.
If it turns red, I'm calling.
It might be when it's on and it's just kind of like. Working, not working. Could be a valve. That's an easy one where you could just actually clean it. Could be older houses, they didn't have aerators and things like that. So it could just be a balancing issue there. No matter what, when it comes to plumbing, call center guard. Call center guard.
If he's got a living space above him and their water comes down the same line, and if the
could
valve,
be pressure.
Yeah, it could be pressure.
Could
it
be.
Builds up in the valve and then the valve just gives in and
the valve's supposed to stop and start water. So if it's not stopping and starting the water, there's a valve issue, right? And it could just be sediment over time if that shower's not being used. You could first kill your water, shut it off, drain it, and then you could clean that and then put it back together.
I mean, if you're living in a condo too, maybe you got someone. I mean, I don't know if you're renting or buying, but someone call someone and should be able to help with that.
Yep.
I mean, Mike and the team at Center Guard just does incredible work.
Yes.
They've been to my house a bunch of times for just like little things, but they add up over time. And Mike and his team are just always so diligent and they do it so well and they're so quick and also very upfront.
Well, they're just honest, right? Like they show up, hey, this is what's going on, this is how to do it, and then they get it done.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're not like coming in and saying like, oh yeah, you also need this. Like,
right. And just lay it out perfectly for it. Anyways, we've used them a bunch at the house for many different, all over the house we've had plumbing issues that they've helped us out with. Mike, when you are driving by in neighborhoods after a snowfall, can you help but not look at every roof and go, that one is this house, or same question for you, Joel, this house is fine. In terms of like, is there snow still on the roof or has it melted off?
No, I can see a lot of snow that's gone off of roofs, and I see mostly on the roofs where the snow is gone, tons and tons of icicles at the gutter line and a huge buildup, 6-7 inches of ice above the gutter.
And that tells us what?
The ventilation is not good enough and the house is leaking heat.
Okay, leaking heat.
Yeah. So it involves both of you guys, really.
It does. I mean, both. Yeah, that leaking of heat causes the snow to melt a lot faster than it gets to the edge. You know, it cools off, it freezes.
There's no heat loss at the edge.
Yeah,
so,
you get that ice damming, and which can cause
ice backup for sure.
Now, all kinds of problems.
Based on how much snow we got and how cold the temperatures dipped, everyone got a little of that, right, Mike? It's not that every house needs a roof replacement or a roof ventilation replacement.
No, every house in this recent snow, it just depends on what Mother Nature throws at us. She can throw warm and cold and snow and then warm and cold and freeze and thaw.
Yeah,
and
Illinois weather.
Illinois weather, and almost every home had ice at the gutter line, no matter what.
Yeah, they were
all.
Not,
It was unavoidable.
They were knocking my Christmas lights off.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, John.
I had to keep on going.
Did they write
there.
An apology letter?
They should have. Okay, I had to go on and put them back on the clip.
How dare
it,
them?
It took at least 15 seconds.
Mother Nature sent you a sorry note?
Yeah, they should have, because I love a real crisp line on the gutter.
I bet you do.
With the Christmas lights. Any bulb that goes out, I go up there at 2 in the morning.
Immediate OCD, 2 in the morning.
Look, I like my house to look great
I love
at Christmas.
That. I love that.
I want anyone driving by to have no notes.
Sure.
Because you know how we drive around and judge everybody.
Do you?
So, oh, my gosh.
For real?
That is like a family
come
pastime.
On, really? We do for Christmas, too. So we drove around for like 2.5 hours. We went to Lake Geneva, saw all the like 12 days of Christmas and stuff like that.
And you don't judge all the other houses?
No.
Oh,
we just say, ooh, that one's nice. Which is, oh,
tell
wow,
you
you're instilling some...
looking for the negative.
After the news, I'll tell you all of our rules for judging Christmas lights. Exactly. But we got to hit that news break. And we got another hour and a half of Home Sweet Home Chicago next on WGN. At 11:35 on WGN. Home Sweet Home Chicago. Hochberg getting calf implants. So he can just look a little bit better in the summertime, right?
Yeah.
This is the season to do a good calf implant.
I think so. No one's going to see the scars or anything. Well, knowing Hawk, he probably will have no scars. He'll go see the best of the best.
100%. And he wears 5-inch inseam shorts in the summer. He always likes to show off the gams.
Yeah.
And he's just heard it year after year. Your calves
weak
don't look
calves.
Great. They're sagging.
Yeah, sagging.
Fix those up. And today was the day.
Nice.
And that's what Hochberg
I'm
did.
I'm excited for him.
It's going to be great.
Probably
be
a lot of recovery changer. Time.
A lot of recovery time. Yeah, who knows? It might be Wendy next week and me the week after. Who knows?
Probably.
I never thought he had skinny chicken legs.
Well, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, how often are you looking at his calves? You
know? Every time he every walks time. Ahead of me
oh,
well, after
okay.
breakfast.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, well, just wait. Just wait until you see him.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, though, Mike, as I've always said.
I'll give you that.
630 texted in, "Judge not, lest ye be judged," from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount.
Sure.
I believe as a counter to my what I revealed before the news, that I judge people in their Christmas lights. This is a tradition that goes back in my family, just as long as I can remember. My mom, who is an artist and does some interior design work, just is a great artistic eye. My grandfather, her father, was an incredible watercolor painter and everything. So it's in our blood. We would get in the van, the old like Plymouth Voyager.
Is this Christmas Day?
This is the 23rd.
Okay.
23rd, every year we would drive around and she would judge the Christmas lights. She had certain different rules you were supposed to follow, although rules can be broken if it's done in the right way. For instance, if you've chosen white lights, make sure nowadays that they're warm white if possible. Do not have warm white lights on the roof and then a color bush here with flashing lights. And then this bush is all blue. And then this one is a different white, but a different bulb size.
Have you been by my house?
Would she have given you a D? First of all, I will also say my mom would never give anyone an F, because as long as you put up something, you're doing something,
okay,
right?
Got
you at least
it.
Pass.
Yeah. Nice.
You get a passing grade.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that has just stuck with me, but when I drive around, again, everyone who puts something up, you win. Right, you've done it. You've been a part of it.
Especially this year. That's what we were talking about.
With
this year,
snowfall
with the
right
snowfall.
After Thanksgiving.
Yep.
A lot of people didn't do it. So if you made the effort to do it, the only people that don't win are the people that don't do anything, or they stick a projection light out in the lawn.
Just the laziest way to do it.
That does not count. I'd rather have you do nothing. And I'm pounding the tables.
We bought like Santa, like from Menards, like a couple light in things for the windows. Does that count?
I
that was
that.
Our only exterior lights because, again, the cold weather.
You tried something.
It. Is that okay?
That's okay. And sometimes, let's say you don't have the ability to get up on the ladder and do the roof. And it costs a lot of money to do that. Totally get that. Put the Christmas tree in the window if you can.
Yeah.
And that can be classy enough, and throw a wreath on the door.
There you go.
And that can be classy.
Good.
And that's fine, and that's easy. But if you're now and again, let's say you do break all the rules. You have the warm white on the roof, and you got big
looks
bulbs
like vomit
here,
outside.
And yes, and you've got a million figurines and Santa's on the ground instead of the roof. That makes no sense, but it somehow works, and you've gone all out, and you are the chaos Christmas house. You can still get an A.
Okay. Because that's
work.
A lot of effort.
It's a lot of effort. You got to
applaud seen,
that.
Have you seen the commercial on TV where one house is completely, totally decked out in lights and the other guy, the neighbor has a little sign that says ditto with an arrow
like
pointing
that.
Over?
Yeah, sure.
You know, anyone that lived in the western suburbs in the 80s and 90s, grew up in Downers Grove, still live there now. I'm a block from the house I grew up in. There was one house on 67th. Again, anyone that didn't grow up in the area. I think every area has that one house they remember. This was ours in Downers Grove. They had every bay window with those, I think they're Annalie dolls, that the animatronics okay. with the candles yes. and people dressed up. But not only that, they had a giant railroad display, a model railroad in the garage that you would then be able to, they'd roll up the garage, you'd be able to go up and look. And then they lined the entire, they were a corner lot. So both sides of the yard had little huts, like little wooden boxes like you see at Chris Kindle Market.
Where do they store all this stuff?
I don't know.
Wow.
I have no idea, but I don't know if the couple passed or when they sold sure. the house. Two things. One, the listing had no inside pictures, which is always a sense yeah. that it's a full gut reno. Maybe
probably.
They were storing the stuff.
Yeah.
But they also had, when they were moving out, I saw like so many of those storage pods. Like on their street. And it was kind of sad to hear that they were moving out. And they had stopped putting it up a few years before. It was probably a couple that got maybe a little too up in age to do all that. But it was the coolest thing as a kid.
All right.
And they broke every rule there ever was.
And it worked.
And it worked. Right. It didn't matter.
That train display in the garage sounds kind of
cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Kind of neat.
Yeah, exactly. The cold air leaked out of the garage, of course, when they had it open. But... Nobody cares.
Who cares?
Exactly.
At that point.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just memories.
It's John Hansen's Judgment Hour here on WGN.
Lest ye be judged.
Lest ye be judged. Okay. David, you got to come out of that with Miracle Method. Okay. The cost. First of all, let's reset again what you do. Because you talk about resurfacing and people think, oh, you're going to redo my wood floors. That's not what you're about. Your company is more specific about the tile, right?
Right. I think tile's one of the best applications for it. But really, surface refinishing, anything from bathtubs to tile, kitchen counters.
Concrete?
We can do that, too. And we certainly do that in more commercial settings. Residentially, we're spending a lot of time in bathrooms and kitchens.
Wow. Okay, so what do you do? Like, I mean, we're talking about like an old tile that we don't like the look of it and we want to change it?
This is a great, great call that I'll get, especially from our listeners who have really nice tile. It's in great shape, but it's pink. Or I think Jeremy already mentioned the avocado green tub and these type of things where you have really nice stuff, mud set tile, different timelines, budgets, that sort of thing will play into a great Miracle Method project.
Kitchen too, right?
And a kitchen too, yeah. Let's use the example of a kitchen counter where you might have a laminate countertop or even Corian, some of these solid surfaces, granite even, that you just don't like the color. The cost might be quite high to replace. It depends on how big your kitchen is. But you're almost always getting a new sink if you do that and working with plumbers and maybe you disturb the backsplash. So refinishing a kitchen countertop can alleviate all that stress. You get that done in about a day and a half. Have a good-looking counter. It's still functional. And you've moved on to put your money where it matters most.
So I have a granite countertop. It's black, but it's got like speckled things.
Yes.
It's a little out of date. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like it's got like silver popping, and I don't love it so much.
Okay.
What could you do for me?
So it's the same idea, that surface refinishing piece. So we start by cleaning everything and removing caulk in places between the backsplash or something of that nature. And then you're effectively updating the look of that counter with acrylic and resin system. And in a case, I'll tell you, with granite, one of the calls that we'll get often are that they want to try a different color.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you really want a light colored kitchen counter, but never thought about it. It's cost prohibitive to rip out all the granite, put in white
to try it.
Just to try and then end up hating it. So we can lighten the color for things. You could live with that for a couple of years. Then you go with your demo project.
Mm. Mm. I like that.
I like that idea too.
Well, here's my question then. Because I told you that we had a backsplash that was a tile, these small tiles that were a bunch of different colors, but I liked the texture of it. Some of them popped out a little bit. It wasn't flat. It added some dimension to it. So I went to a big box place and bought what seemed to be something to do. It was not easy. I mean, it took up three full days of my life, and it looks fine, but it's already in a couple places starting to not look so great. Is that a lot of who you're competing against? People like me who are like, I can do this.
Just like that.
We run into DIY folks, and that's not a bad thing. I think what sets us apart is doing it every day And so a project that might take you 3 or 4 days, we could probably do in one day. And in a backsplash situation, we're almost always out of there in one day.
And you also mentioned the seal, like the,
I didn't pull the caulk.
Yeah. No, I just painted it over.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So there's things, there's tips and tricks that you pick up along the way. And we've been doing this for over a decade. And so that the team that I have assembled here in Chicagoland is quite good. And they're quite capable of really wowing the customer.
Now, go ahead, Jeremy.
Two of our most common calls for showers is one, the plumber came in, our valve was broken, they had to hack it. They claim they do it nicely. They don't do it nicely. They cut into the tile and then they're like, hey, your valve, you can just tile it. And then the other one is like a loose tile, like one or two tiles that came off. So we'll show up. Yes, we can help you. However, we can't match this tile anymore because it's 30 to 50 years old, and it's rigorous. Like it takes a long time. We got to do it right. We got to maybe pull more stuff. Can you help in those scenarios where it's like, hey, look, you don't need to retile? And of course, we'll tell customers, yeah, we'll retile it if you want us to, but it is costly.
A lot.
It's an investment. So, and time. So how do you help those customers during that time? Like, how do you patch it? How do you make it pretty again?
Yeah, both effective ways to deal with the situation. We'll always, first of all, come out to the home and visit and explore the options. And if you're working with plumbers to actually solve a valve issue, and sometimes you have those, that we can limit the destruction.
Nice.
And then, yes, go ahead and retile. In a lot of cases, you've got 4x4 tile or you have certain size tile that makes sense that's still available. It doesn't matter what color it is.
Correct.
We patch that wall, then we're refinishing over everything to match.
So you'll do that work.
Yes, yeah.
You'll put the tile in. Okay.
So you're still saving a lot of money because then you're not having to retile the whole thing.
All right.
You can always go to the grenade approach.
The grenade approach. I like.
Do you ever use acrylics?
I gotta take a break. I'm sorry.
Could you just host this show?
Does Hochberg do this with his hand?
A lot.
He does this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just this.
This is the...
Or this.
Yes.
There's this signal, too. A lot of this signal.
This you got to watch on Facebook to know what Jeremy's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Take a break. John Hanson in for... we'll give your phone number out. Or
email. 630-832-2250 or miraclemethod.com/WGN.
All right, that's David Haas from Miracle Method. I've got some follow-up questions. You do, too. 312-981-7200. After this, John for David. And Home Sweet Home Chicago, 11:49 on WGN. Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. Still got an hour and 10 minutes of this program. We'll do Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. After that, our crew today from PermaSeal, it's Joel Spencer, Mike Houston from Lindholm Roofing, Jeremy Hogel, our Mega Pros, Jer. I like that shortcut of Jer. Have you always been a Jer?
I've always been a Jer.
I like that. I always give you the full Jeremy treatment.
No, Jer. Jer works. Jer. Those that know me.
And I know you.
You do know me. That's true.
I'm gonna change you in my phone to Jer.
Deal. I like it.
All right, I gotta update that.
We've been chatting. Mega Pros
Jer. Mega Pros Jer. David Haas, we've been chatting with you in Miracle Method. Basically just you answering a bunch of my questions about what I can do with my kitchen. But no, I don't like the finish on my black countertop. There's nothing wrong with it. It's in great shape. I painted the tile behind, the backsplash. I did an okay job at it. I've seen YouTube videos of products I can buy for the countertop. And I got to say, there's something about the surface that's flat, either the cabinet or either the counter or the floor. I did a floor. It was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. Seems way worse and way harder to do. The countertops, you guys can, so is it grant, like any surface they can
any
cover?
Any surface is possible. Absolutely.
On the countertops.
And that's why we'll come visit you and see what's going on and what you like, what you don't like. If it's just the color, this is going to be something that we can take care of very easily. We've got a lot of colors to choose from, and there's different sort of textures and grays and earth tones and all this sort of thing. So you find something that you like that complements what you've got going on, and it'll be a lot less mess than ripping it out.
Right. The one thing that you guys don't do as much of is like that stone look with the sweeping long veins.
Cultured marble.
Yeah. Or like these epoxy looking finishes. There's a lot of DIY stuff out there that allow folks to do that. I would just encourage people that are considering that to just keep researching because you really get one shot. And then your second chance is the demo.
Sure. Oh,
because
yeah.
that and the swirling doesn't quite look exactly like you think it's
going
to.
The colors change.
I've played a lot around with epoxies. And I think the one thing that I learned is having a talented crew to execute that will significantly reduce your downtime and the stress and the trouble that you might have.
Yeah, the DIY stuff. I love DIY stuff. I've done a lot. Did my basement for the most part. But it's recognizing the areas you're not good at.
Yes.
First of all, electricity. I don't mess at all with that. Plumbing, I don't mess with. The roof, I don't. And these are why all the WGN sponsors I've been calling. And I'm not going to mess with the countertop because we've looked at those products and we know it's a one-stop, one-shot method. And to call someone like you, sure, it may be a little more expensive than me buying it and doing it myself, but it is not cost prohibitive to most people to have you guys come out and redo their counters, right?
And it's going to last a long time. And I think that when we're talking about refreshing surfaces, they're going to give you another 10 or 15 years and maybe more if you take care of it. I mean, we have customers from over 15 years ago that are still quite happy. And I think sometimes colors go out of style before this stuff will go bad. I mean,
exactly.
That's a good point.
There's a difference between putting some DIY, you know, big box retailer on your bathtub and, you know, some that stuff just won't last that long.
I'm just bummed out I didn't call you guys before I did a bath. You do bathroom floors, right?
We can
a
do
tile
that.
Floor.
Right, right. And actually, bathroom tile is so neat, and there's a nice little space where you like the pattern. And so, I mean, we've done so many different types of bathroom floors that the tile is in great shape. It's that hexagon. It's a small, it's large. They want to maintain some integrity of that style and just sort of updating the color and making it easier to clean. So now you're, you know, maybe contaminated grout or things that we see when you're out and about, even in public spaces, you see how dirty some things can get. So this is, you know, acrylic and resin system going over top of the tile and grout and making one easy cleaning process now.
It seals everything, right? You mentioned wet set. Is that what you demoed? Do you know what
I demoed a tile floor. It looked like Italian terracotta or something. I don't even know what it was. It was the hardest. I had to call my dad.
Okay.
Who was, as soon as I call, he's like, oh, what do they do now? Because I had started to demo the floor past the point of no return.
But you were able to lift the tiles
up. We got the tiles out. We scraped out all the mortar. I went down to the backer board. It was wet around the toilet, so I had to replace it.
It was a nightmare.
And then I had to do the orange thing that I'm laying down and I'm an idiot.
The orange thing. Well,
because it wasn't in bad shape. The floor. Now it turns out there was a little water underneath around the toilet. It wasn't too bad.
Caught
that we would have caught that.
Yeah,
or it was still going to be fine for another few years. It wasn't a dire.
Dave, do you pull the? Yeah, so
we would absolutely pull the toilet in that case if we're working on that floor.
So you would have seen it.
Yeah, we would have seen it, and then we could have addressed it, and then you have that decision where you know
is it time to do?
Yeah, right.
Well, you could still fix that too.
I think so. And it, you know, we but
yeah,
again,
it wasn't a big space.
We just don't want to sell you something that we can't promise and we can't finish and feel good about.
Here's the point I'm making is that the tile was fine. The quality of it.
Yeah.
Right.
We hated the look of it.
Yeah, the color.
We ripped the whole thing out. I spent 3 weekends retiling it, and I did not do a great job. I will just say, it's pretty good.
Sure.
If you just, like, open the door and look at it, you're like, nice new tile floor.
How old's your son? 9 months?
9 months.
Okay, your 9-month-old might love it.
He might trip over one of them, though.
Okay, well, yeah, sure. It's probably not super level.
Trip over it?
Well, one of them's a little higher because, you know, it's hard to do. I had so much respect for people that do floors after I did it. Point is, you weren't even someone I thought of. I want to make sure people think of that.
This is what we're here for.
Yes. Yeah. If there's a tile in the floor in the bathroom that you just go, I want to rip this out of the way it looks, take a few steps out. Is it in good quality? Reach out to Miracle Method instead. Yes. You can make it look like a whole new thing, like as if you had ripped it out and put it in.
Exactly right. Exactly. At least explore the option. It's a very viable alternative to ripping everything out.
Yeah.
Those were 3 weekends of my life I'm never going to get back. Yeah. You got something to say, my friend, Joel?
So once you've refinished it once, can you go in and refinish that same surface again, or does it have to be removed?
Yeah. No. So that answer is great because it depends. It depends on the surface.
Perfect.
In a lot of cases, you can change the color again, and it's still not as much work.
Okay.
With bathtubs and things, when we're handling, we gotta go to break.
I'll tell you before we go to break.
I've got some friends in from Argentina that are coming back from the airport with my wife, so they're listening right now. So bienvenidas to the chicas from Buenos Aires. So thanks, John, for that opportunity.
No problem.
Hope you guys made it safely.
MiracleMethod.com. What's the number?
MiracleMethod.com/WGN and phone number 630-832-2250. 50.
More with all these guys after this break in the news. David Hochberg on this Saturday, December the 27th. Hello, everybody. Got a great show for you. We're 2 hours into this three-hour program, and then we got Let's Get Legal after that. We got MegaPro's Jer. He's filling us in on all the gaps in our lives. That's the weirdest introduction I've ever given you, Jer.
Sure,
but you know
thanks.
What I mean.
Yep.
You kind of fill the holes here on
yep.
this show.
Okay.
That's what you do.
It's great. Thank you.
Lindholm.
It's almost like I'm like Parmacio. I've been trained by Parmacio because they're crack experts.
They are crack experts.
Yep. So I've heard.
Yep.
Joel Spencer here from aforementioned Parmacio. Mike Houston from Lindholm Roofing. David Haas with the Miracle Method. You know, we were talking about Christmas lights, and someone did have a question about putting up Christmas lights around their bay windows. They don't have gutters over the bay window. So they were wondering about hanging string lights on the roof shingles. And you were mentioning during the break the clips, which I've also used on my gutters, that they make them that some clips go underneath the shingle, right?
Under the shingle. I don't know that that's a real good idea because if wind comes and you don't have gutters to protect the shingles at the edge from the wind, they could lift and then the clips come out and then the lights hang. But there's probably good, better, and best when it comes to clips and how they're installed and such.
What about Clark Griswold on the roof stapling the lights into the roof? That's not a good thing?
Well, we gave him an estimate the next in the spring.
Yeah, I bet. That would never be recommended, right? I don't think anyone does that anymore.
Don't use a stapler, no. Yeah.
They do make these new like holiday soffit lights. So if you just Google like holiday soffit lights, apparently my wife wants them. So, you know, they got to be good.
Well, don't they have year-round soffit lights?
But that's what it is that you could change them into a million different colors and you could
you know my thoughts on it.
Yeah, it might not make your requirement of lights for the holiday
season. The John Hanson seal.
The John Hanson, obviously, right? Yeah, there is something like that.
Well, there's something about the fact that I like the soffit lights in general, like they can look really cool. And like at Halloween you could put orange up there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what about for sport? You know, favorite sport team.
Bears, you could do orange and blue.
Sure,
it works.
Sure. Whatever whatever sport that you like.
But then that Christmas, don't just remote control hit red, green, blink, go.
Come on.
Do a tree or a bush or
can't
something.
Can't there be an easy button? You're just not going to allow.
It's a non-qualifying Christmas.
Apparently. Apparently. It's just not John Hanson approved, I guess so.
I know. Yeah. And at the end of the day.
Judge me.
Don't go by anything. Do what makes you happy.
Oh, is that it? Oh, okay. Thanks, John. I really appreciate that.
You like that I gave you permission?
Letting our listeners just do whatever they want to do. Thank
even
you.
Even if it's wrong.
Yeah.
Even if it's wrong. Even if you'll get a
probably
C or
wrong,
a D
but that's okay.
from us.
Yeah.
Lest he be judged.
Maybe this is why David was crying in the back seat when we were doing it all day yesterday, because he's like, just take me home. Stop judging these poor people.
Exactly. That's what it was.
Get home, dads. Feed me or something. But no, we drive around and judge Christmas lights in case you weren't listening. 6Rio wants to know, what about carpet tile versus a rug in the basement? So I'm assuming this is a basement that maybe is unfinished or doesn't have a floor. Maybe it's the concrete or has like a vinyl or something down there.
Sure.
What are the carpet tiles?
I mean, carpet tiles are cool. So I put carpet tiles in my basement. Again, I have a million kids. They use the floor for crafts and things like that. So when they spill all the things or they make slime, which slime's not allowed in our house, but apparently
they find a way.
It makes its way into our house and then it damages. I could just lift that carpet tile up, put a new carpet tile down, and then, hey, this is great.
Versus like an individual square.
Yeah. Right? When they spill stuff, like, you know, the whole saying, we don't cry over spilled milk. We definitely don't cry over it, right? We just pull the tile, put a new tile down, call it a day.
Is it like a sticky back that you like glue
on? Yeah, you glue it on, but I mean, you can take it off. You can take anything off, right? You know, no big deal. If it's a rug or if it's like full carpet wall to wall, good luck. You can't take that section out and repair it. LVP, which is kind of like the game changer, luxury vinyl plank flooring, is a game changer for basements. It's 100% waterproof. If you do get water, you can lift those up. Not as easy, but
they're all connected to each other.
They're all connected, but it can be done, right? You could wiggle, jiggle them out, get a suction cup, and it works, right?
Yeah.
So in the event that you ever need a repair, I'll show you how to
You're
do
looking
that.
Right at me.
I am looking right at you.
I told them during the break I did LVP. I did a DIY LVP, not only in our basement, but then my parents, they built a garage at their little lake cabin they have in the woods, and they wanted to have a little bit be more finished nicer, like the upstairs part of it. We did the LVP. It's perfect.
It's amazing. It's a game-changing product. I mean, there's levels of good, better, best, but the best stuff is almost like wood, and like we're putting it in like these beautiful houses where customers will have like three dogs, two kids. And it's scratch resistant.
Scratch resistant, right.
Yeah, versus a hardwood floor, in a year you're going to have to refinish that floor.
Yeah.
So it's unbelievable.
It is DIY friendly, but there are some aspects that are still a little tough, so maybe you hire someone to do it, only because you got to make cuts, right? If you're going around a closet, no one has like a perfectly square foot. Yeah.
Stairs are complicated.
No good on those. But, I mean, it's good.
But labor intensive from a cost perspective, opposed to putting in hardwood or opposed to putting in tile, it's the bee's knees.
You mentioned the soffit lights. A couple of people have texted in, including the 708. My brother just had those soffit lights installed to the tune of
$2,300. Well, we're not recommending. I mean, that's
a lot.
If you have $2,300 to throw for holiday, hey, good job.
Well, I mean, that's maybe
all
for
year
the year.
Now.
That's
all
it
year.
It is all right, year. Yeah. You're right. And it's one time. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, lighting the house is now a big thing, right? I mean, it really adds to the whole mystique of what the house is and whether it's landscape lighting. And
that could get 10, 15. I mean, you could spend quite a pretty penny.
But it can make a big difference.
Yes.
And the name of the company that we have on the show a lot or on WGN is escaping. I'm going to look it up. I know it was Mike is the guy who does it. I'm trying to remember the name because he changed the name, but it's a great company. We'll look that up for people to look up if they want to do a little landscape lighting.
I think it was
lighting.
Mike's Lighting before.
Yeah, it was. And he's a great guy. Yeah, it was.
Was it?
I think so.
Something illumination back, now. Yeah, we'll get it here before
I wonder
the
if there's a bunch of municipal code people going crazy with those lights.
Is there? Do you think that is?
Oh, there's got to be an HOA.
There's got to be an HOA.
How many mics do you have in your contacts in your phone?
Oh, right now? 13, guaranteed.
I got 100.
Minimum.
312-981-100
mics.
Lies. Let's compare the mics in our phone, including Mike Houston, who we're not even letting talk here.
How about Michael? Way more than 13.
Okay. Do you have any concern about Mike, any of the soffit lighting that people are installing? Or does that not really touch anything that you have to worry about?
Really doesn't touch anything I have to worry about.
Doesn't cover vents in a weird way?
It could, but the conduit, if that's how they're connected, would make a minimal difference.
Okay, so
across an intake.
Anytime homeowners drill holes into their house, they should seal them. So if they're drilling holes into stuff that shouldn't have holes in them, they should probably get sealed.
No, for sure. That's good advice all around. 312-981-7200. Let's take a break. More Home Sweet Home Chicago after this. Get your calls and questions onto the Mega Pros photo, text, and video line. What am I saying, Jer?
MegaPro's call, text, and photo.
Call, text, and photo line.
Text and photo line.
312-981-7200. We'd love to hear your voices, too, next on WGN. 1220 on a Saturday.
How's your popcorn?
Popcorn is great. I finally busted into that.
It's nice you got two bags. So then this one's show?
No, Sammy Martino took the other as a tip. So
did he?
You're just joining us. I had some vending machine problems. Yeah. My bag of popcorn got stuck, bought a second one, got stuck, couldn't buy a third one because the credit card machine stopped working. Sammy heard my plight, sort of Neil. Neil loosened the machine.
Of course.
Producer on my left-hand side, shook it, nothing came out. Sammy just punched a hole in the glass.
Perfect.
And took some bleeding, but he's a tough guy like that.
Yep.
And so I gave him one popcorn bag as a tip.
Seems fair.
Yeah. He's also in the hospital right now, recovering from his injuries.
At least he has popcorn.
And at least, more importantly, at least I have popcorn.
Yeah, fair.
Exactly.
Yeah, valid point.
Let's go to Jim in Crest Hill. He's got a question. Jim, hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. What do you got for us?
What I got, two rooms with registers, one near, on both inside walls near the ceiling, and on the opposite side, directly opposite wall in the hallway, there's a registers near the floor. Now, between the two...
Sorry, I don't know what you're saying. What word?
Registers.
Registers.
Yeah.
Oh, registers.
Yeah, like registers. Like vents. Call them vents. You're doing great.
Jim, you got to remember who you're talking to here. I'm the guy who hosts the legal show. Anyway,
Jim, John doesn't know anything about houses. Go ahead, Jim.
Keep going, Jim.
I took the registers off, and I looked inside. There's no ductwork attached to either one in either room.
That's
okay.
Weird.
On the floor or the ones on the wall?
Neither one.
So,
there's just airspace between the two studs.
I got you, Jim. So when was your house built?
About 22 years ago.
Well, typically, like returns, they used to use the framing, like the wall cavity, as the actual duct, so to speak.
Wait, really? So the homes, they would just have a vent between, and they'd assume that the 2x4s that did the vent would vent
it
down?
You're just pulling the air.
So it doesn't matter.
It
doesn't have to be through a duct.
It should.
Ah.
But
there's no openings on the joist on the bottom or on the top.
All right, so here's the question. On the floor ones, do you ever feel air coming out of those openings?
No, I don't.
So, all right, that's the other fun thing is builders.
Well, one other thing
go ahead, Jim.
I got a large intake in the dining room area. It's about a 3 foot by 38 by 14 inch size.
Yep.
Is that sufficient to carry to draw the air from these two rooms?
That should be fine. That's common. Again, that's pretty common where in a main space area, they'll have a bigger register to pull the air from. There's a chance that your builder or HVAC guy didn't communicate, right? So maybe they were planning on, hey, we're going to run a duct right through here. And yeah, you're going to get a straight line. And then they put the vent in and then they realize, oop, wrong hole.
Wait. I want to make sure I understand what's happening, yeah. Jim. Hold on. Stop. So your intake registers
is on the wall.
It's on the wall, and that isn't connected to ductwork, which may be just how it was
done.
That's
okay.
But the vents
supply
on the floor, where it's supposed to pump out heat or cool air, nothing's coming out of because they were never connected. That happens, Jer?
That can happen.
That's correct.
That can happen for sure. Well, yeah, it could have been a remodel. At 20 years old, probably not. How many owners have owned your house, Jim? Do you know?
One.
So, I mean, yeah, it's possible that the builder was just, builder or duct guy was not paying attention or went to the bar early or just called it a day.
Jim, have you noticed that room like extremely cold or extremely
hot?
That was
my next question.
The one room is more cooler than the rest. But it's kind of odd that two rooms would have the identical situation with the air ducts.
It is odd. So what is below those rooms?
It's the slab floor.
Slab floor.
I guess the question is, Jim, do you have a reason why you want to connect it? Like, if everything's comfortable enough, is it worth, Jer, to the expense of running ductwork to try and fix this?
Well, I don't think it would be because it would be awful difficult, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, meaning you're on a concrete slab?
Right.
Yeah, it would be extraordinarily difficult.
Right. So I just wonder if it's something that's typical that was
it's
done
not.
Back in the day?
No.
It's kind of weird. To me, I've owned other homes in the past, and I've always had ductwork attached to the register.
You know, you and 98% of all other homeowners would have that, Jim.
Yeah,
yeah,
wow,
exactly.
Jim.
Yeah. If you haven't noticed an issue, I mean, that's really surprising, especially on a slab, that there wouldn't be something that's there. So, yeah, that's right. Pretty odd.
All right, Jim.
Sorry.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
You kind of answered my question.
Hold on for your Mr. Floor cleaning product of your choice.
Thank you, Jer. I appreciate that. Yeah, one of my buddies in college in the apartment we were renting on a night of partying punched a hole in the wall. And in order to save the deposit, I just made the hole a little bigger and put a return vent there.
Smart. Super smart.
So maybe that happened everywhere.
Nice. I like that. That's very creative.
Should I have not admitted that?
No, you could totally do that. That's fine.
I don't know. Yeah. That's what okay. That was my thinking.
Sure.
I was like, you know,
smart.
There's a little vent right there now.
Why not?
Better than a picture.
Better than the picture. Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Tom on the south side. Got about 5 minutes here before the news. Hey, Tom, how are you doing, bud?
Good. How are you?
Doing very good. What do you got for us?
Just real quick, in college, we used toothpaste, you know, when you removed all the, you know.
Yeah, that's...
You took all the paintings off the wall and the mirrors and blah, blah, blah. You did toothpaste.
That's what my dad suggested, too.
Yeah, exactly. Got it.
That's some good knowledge, Tom.
Need a white wall.
Yeah, okay. So what I've got, I'm literally looking at it. It's a 1 foot by 1 foot square. I'm in my buddy's house. I've known him 50 some odd years.
It's a good
kind of crazy. And it's a grate, and it's in the kitchen, and it brings up all the heat. Now, mind you, there is a tap that goes into his mom and dad's bedroom. But upstairs, the dad was like, well, I never had any heat nor air conditioning, so you guys won't either.
Okay.
What can I do? I mean...
Do you know what he's saying? I'm kind of confused by it. Yeah. There's a hole in the floor?
So you're saying you have on your main floor, you got a 12-inch by 12-inch opening that air comes out, your supply, and then upstairs, there's no vents. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, this is one of those weird...
It's warm in the living room. It's warm in the dining room.
Sounds like, I mean, if you want a comfortable space, maybe just move into the living room and the dining room. I mean, you're all set, Tom.
And what are you doing? And it was the dad saying, I didn't have heat, so you're not going to have heat either?
How dare
you? I grew up in the Depression, so you have to suffer?
My question is, how easy or difficult is it? to tap into that and bring it into, you know, that third floor.
How hard is that? I mean, what are we looking at?
You know, you're going to have to open up some drywall. You're going to have to open it. I mean, it's not, nothing's impossible. I'll tell you, anything's doable, right? It just depends on cost and just what you're willing to live through, right? Drywall happens to be the messiest substance in the world. And then you got to clean it and then tie in. And to be honest, if you're tapping into that system, you might not get the best airflow.
Well, I was just going
to
wonder.
If you're not putting in a return, then you're going to have minimal supply that's going to go in that space. So doable, yes, Tom. Is it worth it?
How old is the system, Tom?
Hey, buddy, if you could help me. If I'm not going to put in a return, see, those are things I don't understand.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So, again, you could have a supply run where your air is going in without trying to move that air, and you'll still get air. It's just not going to move the same way if you put a return in, right? So picture it like a full fan, like
the whole cycle of it.
Thank
the air.
You.
A return essentially is just an open exhaust that then will send the air back downstairs.
It's calling for the air.
At some point, I need a little motor with a fan that's going to bring it back down.
Maybe.
No,
you don't have to.
You don't even need a motor. But yeah, it's just, it's doable. To answer your question, Tom, it's doable. I don't know if it's worth it.
My question was, is that if you're going to, like, maybe if the HVAC's at the end of its lifespan anyways and you're going to redo it, is that a good time to do it?
No, because it has nothing to do with this. Yeah, I would contact your HVAC professional, assuming that you have one, whoever services your system. I would reach out to them and say, hey, what would it be? They would be the ones to run the numbers. They will not be the ones to do the drywall patching. So they'll give you one number, and then you'll need a whole series of other numbers.
And you guys can help with that second part?
Sure. Depending on where you're located, but yes.
He's on the south side. Tom, I got to scoot to the news. Thank you very much. Stay on the line for your Mr. Floor cleaning product of your choice. I did it, Jer.
Nice. About that? Nailed it.
Got a half hour left. Get on the line, folks. 312-981-7200 on the Mega Pros. Text, photo, and why do I fix it?
What the Mega Pros call, text, and photo line.
After the news on WGN 36, which means we're towards the end of the program, everyone. 312-981-7200 is how you get on the Mega Pros call, text, or photo line.
Amazing.
Mega Pros Jer is here, as well as Mike Houston from Lindholm, David Haas from Miracle Method, Joel Spencer from Permaseal Basement Systems. 847, question, I need to replace my dryer vent from the back of the dryer to the outside. Currently using flexible hose, it needs an upgrade. Does like a Mega Pros come out and do that small of a project? And approximately how much would it cost for them to supply the vent and install it, Jer?
Our handyman, so typically it's $125 for every hour. And then
how much? 120?
125.
Okay.
Yep. Depending on where they live, right? It could start at 225.
Okay.
If it's like downtown Chicago, that's a drive just from Algonquin. But yeah, no problem. We could totally replace that. We could clean it first because we want to make sure that everything's functioning. But yeah, and then we'll also look at your exterior vent to make sure that's all sealed too.
Should a lot of people be looking at their dryer vents in general?
Every year you should get, that's like one of the most common fires. It's right up there with like chimneys, right? Mm-hmm. You should get it checked and cleaned out.
By a professional.
Well, you know, you're a big DIY guy. So an electric leaf blower.
Ooh,
the coolest, right? You don't want to bring your gas pipe. I mean, I got a backpack leaf blower, so I'm not bringing
bring
that in. I mean, I have brought it in.
I do have a leaf blower.
Pull the dryer out. Yeah, pull the dryer out.
Boom.
And then just disconnect it from the dryer, and then literally just and it'll just blow all the junk outside, and then just reconnect it.
Yeah.
Super cool, super easy.
Yeah, I imagine. Oh, so you unconnect the hose.
From the back of the dryer.
And then
you just literally... Because they won't even, like companies that do duct cleaning, you can't clean those flexible lines.
They'll break them, right?
The whips will just break them.
They're so cheap. They're like, what, $12?
They are, but again, certain homeowners, you need the right band. Sometimes they caulk them in. Sometimes they tie into drywall. The fittings are a little weird sometimes. Mm-hmm. So
ours, we send our dryer out, and it goes into the garage, and that flexible line then goes out of the garage.
That's a really long run, John.
It is a long run.
Okay.
And I think the problem that we've had to address, and we have, is to make sure that the gravity is taking things the right way.
Yes, because otherwise you get moisture.
It also used to sag in the middle.
Yeah, you don't want that.
And that you don't want that, because that can be a problem. It's not actually sending it out. It's just sending it into the garage to bulk up on that vent.
Correct. Well, and you got hot air. Is your garage insulated?
No idea.
Okay. Is it okay? How about this?
Drywall.
When you walk into your garage, is it cold?
Yes.
Okay, so.
But it's not outside cold.
So you likely have insulation.
I don't know if I like this model, John. I mean, an insulated, is it insulated at least?
Enrique,
or is it just like the
know.
Old?
I don't know, because when we moved in, there was the previous owner's kids had like played baseball against the wall. Enrique patched all the drywall and fixed it all up. And
way to go.
Sanded and painted
Everybody
it.
Needs an Enrique.
But I don't, exactly. But I don't know if he looked in and saw if it was insulated or not. So he can call in to the Mega Pros, call, text, or photo line, or
yes,
just text me personally.
312-981-7200.
Probably not insulated. My guess is it's drywall, but not insulated.
So that would be the only concern. You're getting hot air, it could condensate, and then it could becoming a cesspool for ick.
Okay.
Right?
A cesspool
for ick. Cesspool for ick.
I like that. 312-981-7200. I got someone on the phone line right now. We'll get them on hold, and I'll go ahead and bring them on the line here. And we'll just get them on here. That's good enough for me, Neil. She's got it all out there. You don't have to type the whole question, Neil. I got it.
Neil's still on the
Neil's like
there.
Doing
yeah,
a great
Neil's,
job writing
He's
this whole question out. I'm fine. I'll go to Marcia. That's good enough for me. Let's get Marcia on the line. Marcia, you got a question out of Palatine?
Yes, I do. I have a bathroom counter that's a dark color. It's quartz. And it's faded in one area around the faucet. Mm. I believe it's from water. Being on there. So now I dry it all the time. But is there a way to get the counter looking like it did when it was new?
Do you like the color that's on there right now, Marcia?
Yes, I do.
So,
it's a dark brown, kind of a marbleized.
Is there a miracle method, something that you guys can do to like match that color and redo it, or is that not something that you guys would do?
Yeah, I'd have to take a look at that to figure that out to see if we could match the color. But yeah, I would guess you're right about the standing water, which typically just ruins things.
Mm-hmm.
And so fix
that
first.
Yeah, I wish they would have told me that when I got it.
So even if you went out there and you did something, that standing water could pose an issue to what you're
Absolutely.
Doing too.
Right.
So this seems to be like something, Marcia, you need to solve with the faucet, right? And the standing water there. No,
that's just from people washing their hands and just
you're talking about cleaning the sink.
Anytime I use the sink, I have to dry it right in.
Marcia, you're talking about sloppy hand washers is really what it is, because water is going all over the place, right?
Yeah, anything I do, brush my teeth or whatever, it leaves water, and I have a towel on the side so I can wipe it.
Has the finish come off or just discolored? Like, what type of cleaning products have you used to try to clean it?
Just normal bathroom cleaners. Nothing
too abrasive.
Yeah, it's just that the water has faded it, and I didn't know if there was something I could put on there to make it look.
If it is a quartz, I mean, they make there's buffing compound that you could try to bring some, but again, you got to be careful of real small areas to try to test stuff. You know, I don't know what type, you say quartz, but there's a billion different quartz products that are out there.
Marcia, if you close one eye slightly, do you not see it as badly? Because that's cheap.
I don't know. I didn't try that.
Yeah, or sunglasses. I was thinking just anytime that you use a sink, just put sunglasses on.
Or like some soap dispenser or something that you could cover it with.
Marcia, leave water on all of it. For a while, and then it'll blend.
It'll blend
eventually.
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately, I don't know of a easy. If the finish is gone, it's kind of toast. You can paint it though.
Right, we could effectively
refinish
the whole piece.
Refinish the whole piece.
Yeah, but you would be changing the color that you love.
Yeah,
yeah. Unless you can match it closely or do something with it.
Yeah.
You could buy a faucet with a larger base.
Yeah, is it just around the faucet handles?
Yeah, it's just around there, and there's been water on other parts of the counter, I'm sure, before I started wiping it. And
is it
it doesn't do this.
Marcia, is it a 4-inch or an 8-inch spread on your faucet?
It's about...
Are there two handles and a faucet, and then you have countertop in between, or is it one piece?
No, it's just one handle.
And then there is a plate that's there?
Yeah.
Cover plate?
Oh, there is a plate, okay.
So is it just outside the cover plate?
Yes.
So to Mike's point, you could probably try to find a larger cover plate replacement, and
larger
I'll just cover
base.
Up. Yeah, larger base, and I'll just cover that up.
So you get the same thing, and then that's not easy. That's not too hard to do. Or you guys can maybe help out with something like that.
Or Center Guard Plumbing
can help out with that. And yeah, they make like the bigger plates on there, Marcia, to cover
so it'll
more
just cover that wear.
As long as it doesn't get into the sink then and then into it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you should go check out different plate covers.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know though. It's not in it's kind of irregular, so I don't know. But it might cover. It might hide.
It might.
Part of it.
It might.
That's what we're here to do, Marcia.
Yeah, we're
paying
just
over
here
the
hide problems.
Hide
problems. Yeah, we don't want to solve anything. We just want to cover them up.
That's what happens when I host the show.
Put it right under the rug. No big deal.
Lou Manfredini will have a much better answer for you. I'm about hiding problems, Marcia. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the phone call. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Hold on to your Mr. Floor cleaning product of your choice.
Yes, very good, Jared. Thank you very much. Let's go to Dave. Dave, what is your question?
Hey, guys, I got the same situation you do with my dryer vent. Into the garage, around a corner, and then out. Yeah. And I redid it, and it's doing good. My question is, can I use part or all of that dryer vent into my garage to heat it, which is, it's insulated and finished, but there's no heat in there.
So you want to use the dryer vent to heat your house?
No.
Your garage?
No, heat my garage.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, heat it. Go for it. Yeah. What's your concern?
I got a CO2 detector out there just in case, right?
You're not using your dried air from the dryer to heat the garage, right?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Oh yeah,
That's what I want to do. Once
they'd be blowing. Yeah,
really
moist.
That's not
air.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
What?
Don't want to do that.
Why is that? Why not?
Is it a gas dryer?
Yes.
Because of the fumes.
But if I have a CO2 detector, won't that tell me if I got a fume problem?
It could, but what if it broke?
I just don't think in general you want to just be sending fumes. I don't think that's your best solution for heating your garage. What about a space heater or something instead? Yeah,
Dave, what are you thinking?
Here's the thing. Here's what I'm saying. I'll go back to the space heater, but I got to tell you, Manfredini told me the exact same thing you guys just did.
Oh, all right. Sure. So that's a good thing. Then we were right.
Let's hope so.
You were testing us.
Yeah, Dave. Yeah.
I like that, Dave. A little test.
Very much. You guys.
Sure. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Man.
Safety-oriented
that's
shows.
That's a clever way to test us here. Ask Lou.
Sure.
Get the real answer.
Sure.
And then test us.
I guess so. It seems rather common sense.
This one was a no-brainer.
Okay. I don't think you'd want to be blowing warm, moist air, even if it's warm, into your garage.
I don't think you want to be blowing air that's connected to gas in your house.
I think you just want to heat things with things that were designed to heat things.
Sure.
Not your clothes to dry.
That
but
makes sense, too.
Okay. Yep.
What about a fire in a barrel in your garage?
You could.
Could I just have
it? In a pinch. You know what? You could actually just start your car, and eventually it'll warm your garage up,
too.
Don't
say that. Don't do that.
You know,
that's
also extremely unhealthy.
Well, I got a CO detector, but how about a barrel fire in my garage to warm things up? The detector's not going off.
That's true. The detector would not go off.
Let's take a break. 312-170-200 on WGN. 1250. Nope, 1249 on WGN. I can read a clock, everyone. It's
nice
home, home Chicago.
Really proud of you. Isn't it digital, too?
It says it right
number,
there.
Right? It wasn't low, too, so if you're having a hard time with that.
It wasn't even analog, and I still messed that up.
A lot of clocks to look at over here.
Sure,
exactly. On this wall.
Maybe that's it.
Well,
we
have three clocks.
Yeah, there's three clocks.
Do you want to peel back the curtain, though, for a moment?
Sure.
Is that we are on a 10-second delay, so when it is 49.50, I say it's 50, because by the time the listeners do it, so I have to do a little quick math in my head.
Hold on. So one says 12:49:28. The other one says 12:49. Okay, I see what you're saying. So you're saying you're just taking 10 seconds off?
No, I have to round up to the
nearest. You're rounding up.
So I just rounded up twice.
Tell the future.
So that's all I'm saying is being a radio host is hard.
Obviously.
And when I come in the Hochberg chair, I turn into Hochberg. I don't know where the buttons
are.
That's
true. You don't know
where. I don't know the mega pros. Exactly. I'm just trying to authentically.
You're right. Giving our listeners the full experience.
Neil printed out an eye test for me across the glass. ELF.
Yeah, what's the lowest one you could get to?
DGLFT.
How about lower than that?
No, I can't get any further.
Yeah. Okay, got it. There you go.
I say we're doing a nice job with the man-made sound effects today, though.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
The Hochberg. Hochberg should be back next week if he's recovered from his calf implant surgery. He did send me a picture. He's got some wounds, some scars there. Of course, you can't get calf implants without a little damage. Yeah. They look supple, though.
I'm sure it's supple. Supple's a good word.
Those calves are, his gams are going to be blowing people away all summer long, everybody. 630 texted in. I have spalling. Do you know what that is, Jer? S-P-A-L-L-I-N-G.
Like pits?
Brick?
Yeah, it's
pits.
Like in concrete if it's like a pop mark.
Yeah, it's like little divots, right?
Okay. I have spalling on my basement concrete walls. Had PermaSeal that they don't replace that. I washed down the walls, clean out the loose concrete and fill it? Do you know what he's talking about here? Joel, any ideas?
I mean, if he does have spalling, you could patch it. There's nothing you really do permanently. There's also not anything you'd really need to do.
Is it a problem? Or is it
aesthetics?
It's aesthetics.
Unless water's coming through them.
If it's spalling, it'd be aesthetics. You know, there's also things called like honeycombing. When they mix the concrete, if it's not mixed properly, you can actually see little pieces of exposed gravel. And that wouldn't be spalling. That would be what we call honeycombing. Water can make its way through there. If it's truly spalling, you know, it would be more cosmetic than anything.
Okay.
I mean, you could. So a lot of times I've just seen customers either put a little bit of concrete that's there, like just a compound, or they could even caulk those areas. Mm. And then they could just do like a dry, like there's several paint products that are out there where you can just paint your walls, your concrete walls, so it just blends a little bit better.
Actually, I got a question. David, do you guys do concrete walls really or no?
It'd be an expensive.
Yeah, okay. You know, okay.
It would be very I was thinking, wow, you could really have somebody epoxy coat it and that would be amazing, but it'd be pricey.
I don't think it's the right thing to do.
On a vertical wall, too. Yeah.
The epoxy won't really hold. It'll want to run down that wall. So there's some things that you can do to mitigate that. But, yeah, that's not the right material.
Sure.
Okay. I'm just glad you guys knew what spalling was.
Yeah.
Because I sure didn't.
That's okay.
312-981-7200, the Mega Pros call, photo, or text line.
This is a good point.
Go
probably
ahead.
A texter said probably meant effervescence.
What does that mean?
Are totally different.
Like a white powdery substance.
That is water
coming
in.
That would be completely different.
Yeah, that's completely different.
Explain it. What is effervescence?
Efflorescence is it's a byproduct drawn out from the concrete by moisture, so it looks like white chalky.
Looks like salt.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
And it's moisture interacting with the concrete, so it could be a leak. It can be the humidity in the
same thing.
Itself.
You could prime it, and then they make seal like a paint sealer.
Would that be something you guys would work with, or is that not a big enough project for you guys?
Well, I mean, we would be interested in what's causing it. So if they're getting leaks, we would solve that. We have things we can do dehumidification-wise. There's nothing we do that can guarantee you don't get efflorescence, but you can do things that
we had a customer that had this like awesome brick in their basement, like, I don't know, 1910. And they had effervescence, but no real water was coming through there. So we just pressure washed everything. Well, we actually sandblasted everything, and then we put sealer over the brick.
Mm.
And it looked awesome because they wanted that cool, like, Chicago, right?
Prohibition era.
Yeah,
like,
it was cool, and that worked. So, well, so far, knock on wood.
I will say, though, the most annoying thing, I love our house, and we've done a lot of work to it, and it looks great. The most annoying thing is it had the drippy mortar brick style.
Mm.
Like, the mortar came out of
oozing.
The brick. Oozing.
Oozing.
What is the term for that?
It's a style.
It was
like
a style.
Like a Tudor brick, almost.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Well, the mortar didn't look great after 50 years. And,
sure.
And the brick was dark brown and
well, you
gross.
Painted it, right?
We sprayed it white.
And it looks awesome.
It looks great.
Yeah.
Even the because you don't notice.
Yeah, it's all blended.
The droopy, the gloopy, the droopy, gloopy, sloppy.
We'll call it the slop look.
Sloppy look,
It was done on purpose.
Yeah.
It was done on purpose. And I bet when the brick was new and the mortar, is it mortar?
I'm sure. Right? Yeah, it would be mortar.
Was new
and
not stained over time, it looked a cool style.
It was maybe stylish.
And we have a mansard roof on part of the house just so they like that old style to it, but and it was just sprayed in white. Is that Hochberg trying to come and call into his own program here? I don't know if we're gonna be able to.
That's almost the same name. There's no CH. Wow, okay. I'm really worried about his eye test.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap things up by going around the horn. Tell us what you guys do and how they can reach you. Let's start you with Ms. Brackish.
So Lindholm Roofing, obviously we're under the roofing and the gutter business. We'll do a few more things, but I will stay in my lane.
Okay.
Thanks.
I like that.
You do some roofs and some other stuff. Google what you
Google
do.
Google Lindholm Roofing, and you'll find out what we do. But in the meantime, I will stay in my lane.
Love great. That. All right, Mr. Haas.
Give us a call.
So oh, yeah.
Give us a call at 773-283-7675 or info@lindholmroofing.com.
When you guys came to my house, Mike, you did a great job. The whole team did. Seriously,
thanks,
you guys are great. David Haas, what do you all do?
Yeah, thanks. Miracle Method Surface Refinishing. So primarily, if you're looking to update surfaces in your home and you're considering remodeling projects, I always invite you to consider an alternative to that. And in honor of PermaSeal, I'll suggest cracks and repairs to fiberglass or something like that. You might think that your shower or your bathtub is garbage and needs to be thrown out, but we can repair those things and refinish that existing surface, and everyone lives to fight another day.
And where do we go for more?
MiracleMethod.com/WGN or 630-832-2250.
All right, Mr. Spencer, where do we go for all your stuff?
Well, we do have some rain in the forecast this weekend, so we're always there for your waterproofing needs if you have an issue. And like we talked about earlier this morning, we can help you know your number in your house.
Oh, yeah, so that's right.
How leaky is that house? We can tell you. And you can reach us at 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
And you'll give us our number for free.
That's right. And it's free.
I love that.
It's usually a $400 or $500 thing to do. We need to do it to figure out the solution, and so it's something that we provide everybody at no charge.
Great stuff, Joel.
That's awesome.
Jer, where can people reach MegaPros and for anything, basically, right?
Yeah, we had a texter ask a question. They want to remodel their whole house and then possibly add an addition, and they were wondering where to start, right? It's a common question because people will think, well, I got to contact an architect, right? And then I got to get plans, and then I got to get bids. So we eliminate all that noise, and we just tell our customers, hey, call us. We'll schedule what we call a virtual visit. It'll be a set appointment. We'll walk through everything that you have done. We'll pull the comps around your area to make sure that the addition's even going to make sense for you to do that, and then we'll give you budget numbers right then and there, so then you could plan from that point, then we'll do full walkthroughs and all that. So without spending a dime, we could plan those projects for 2026. Those big projects, we might suggest, hey, move. Right? And sometimes that's right. A thing, you know, where it's just not worth it.
Yes,
like, I'm sorry.
But it's good to know that.
But no cost to them, yeah. And a minimal time investment. So we're happy to help with that and excited to work with our customers in 2026. Happy New Year.
What number should they call you at?
847-658-8989.
MegaPro Chair, thanks for keeping me in line today.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Guys, thank you very much. Have a good weekend, okay? The rest of you, all right?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Then let's get legal next on WGN.